Now you know what Granny was thinking. How are you doing this morning? You doing pretty good? All right, that's great. You know, it's sort of funny. By the way, if you're new around here, you might wonder who I am. I'm Ben, I'm the lead pastor, and have been gone a bit of the summer. Now I'm back. This last weekend, I was in Phoenix, was speaking at a friend's church, and you know, a little different crowd than Timberlake. They were very, very responsive. Some of it frightened me. Seriously, I got up there and said, "Hi, I'm Ben." Someone goes, "That's right." And I'm like, "Well, you're right, that I guess I am, Ben." And, you know, I'm just like, I don't have an attention span, so you got to help me out a little bit. But it's great to, when I spoke there, to see how God was working. And I'm going to talk about this in a moment, the situation. But really through a stressful time, how you can see the spiritual temperature raised. And as we look at the Psalms, that's what we're doing. You know what the Psalms are? They're basically songs. It's a songbook of the Bible. We all know songs that we don't know, that we know. I'll help you out. I won't do Bible songs. I'll do Rolling Stones. I can't get no, what? Yeah, you can't be with the one you love. I just wanted to see if you would do that one. Every move you make, every breath you take, I'll be watching you. Yeah, we call that the restraining order song there. But if you've been raised around church, maybe you know this one. What can take away my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And there's something about songs, especially those songs that point us towards God, that can nourish our soul. Now, in the older part of the Bible, the Old Testament, the reason the Psalms are so big is it was an oral culture, and that's how they learned their theology. Theology is just a study of God, what God is like. Now, some of these psalms were prophetic. They'd say what would happen in the future. Some were prescriptive. You do this and this will happen. Some were descriptive. This is how life is. But all of them were meant to meet us in our times when maybe we feel like we have a disconnect with God. They were written over 2,500 years by four authors that we know about: Moses, Solomon, David, and a musician named Asaph. And we want to look at those today. The categories of Psalms, there's Psalms of celebration, thanksgiving, but the biggest category is called lament. Now you might know what lament means. It's sort of that dis-ease in our soul, where we say, you know, I wish things were different. Look at some of these psalms of lament. Psalm 69:2, not in your outline, but it is in the Bible. The psalmist says, "I've come into the deep waters, the floods engulf me." Why, Psalm 10:1, "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Psalm 3:7, "Slap my enemies in the face." Aren't you glad that one's in the Bible? Yeah, it makes you feel a little bit better. See, you'd say, "Well, I would never say that to God." Here's a problem that we can encounter. Some of us were raised in a culture where God is so distant, he's become irrelevant to our life. We respect God for who he is, but don't think he can create the universe, he can raise Jesus from the dead, but he can't meet me in my time of need. And then others of us who are maybe from more evangelical culture, which, by the way, we are, God is so buddy-buddy that we don't see the transcendent power of God, that he can see what we can't see, and that God is still the God of miracles today. And sometimes he'll do a miracle that you don't know you need. David knew he needed a miracle. Will you take your outline out of your program, and let's look at his prayer, his song to God. He says, "Listen to my prayer, O God, do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me, my thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked, for they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me, the terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me, horrors overwhelmed me. I said, Oh, that I had the wings of the dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. Okay, good day or bad day for David? Bad day, right? How many of you would say, yeah, I have a problem, I could want God. Any of you have a problem or know where you can get one? You bring your problem with you to church, hoping God would do something. No, there. We all have problems in our life. See, middle of summer, this is our time when we're most relaxed, usually. And this is why I want to talk to you, because in the midst of it, you're not going to be able to see clearly. I mean, I've had 3 weeks vacation. It has been awesome. I mean, it really has. I was in Lake Chelan, and I was dragged behind a friend's boat. And you're like, oh, did he water ski? No, I was pretty much dragged behind a friend's boat. And it was a lot of fun. And then I came back here. And the funny thing is, even though there are a lot of good things happening, I mean, you know, like how do we do services and space and all of that? Because as we head in the fall, people tend to show up to church. And, you know, how. But the issues, sometimes they can be overwhelming. And then, of course, there were 630 kids here last week. And you say, well, what did you do for vacation Bible school? I played hide and seek. I hid from the children. And there's these things in life. They can be good. They can be bad. But they can weigh on us. So if God can't meet us there, he can't meet us anywhere. So what I want to look at is, first, I'm going to start with more of the practical, and then we're going to look at sort of how it works in our heart. Three actions that we can take when we feel overwhelmed. Number one, first, assess the real cause. Now, oftentimes we feel overwhelmed and we'll attribute. We love to ascribe blame, don't we? But we don't often say, God, what is it? Is there something in me? See, I hate sometimes when I go to God and I ask God, what is the problem? Because you know what God says? Sometimes you are, Ben. And there's something that needs to change in your own heart. Now, for David, it was a relational problem. We read this, Psalm 55. My thoughts trouble me, and I'm distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked, for they bring down suffering on me and assail me in anger. And then, now, look at what it says. It says, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. Well, didn't he just say it wasn't an enemy? But we read this. But it is you, one like myself, my companion, my close friend. Verse 20 says, my friend, my friend. You know, the worst hurts in our lives come from those we love. And for David, this guy's become my enemy, but I can't even believe it because I thought he was my friend. I've had more people that I've talked to, and they've said, you know, the betrayal of adultery or of a friend who, I talked to someone who was a business partner and betrayed him and cheated him out of some stuff. It says it's almost worse the who than the what. And that's what weighs on our soul. For some of us, we need to believe that God can even bring redemption in the midst of that. But you know what happens when we have a problem? Psychologists would call it emotional flooding. We're sort of flooded with all these emotions. And do you know what we tend to do when we're flooded with emotions? We tend to make big decisions. When's the worst time in your life ever to make big decisions? When you're flooded with emotions. That's why they say if you've lost a loved one, wait a year before you move or sell a house or something like that. Because right when we're at our lowest ability to think coherently, we say, okay, now I'm going to make a big move. And there's a time to say, you know, am I really in a place when I can make that decision? And we take a step back from that. Now, as we work through this, we need to understand, well, maybe it's not someone else's fault. Maybe it's our own fault. Maybe we overschedule. In summer, you know, we're fine. In fall, we tend to add things to our life that we shouldn't add. Maybe we're overwhelmed because we overspent. We overcommitted. And there's something we need to drop or stop or sell or get rid of. So there's margin in our life. I've had people say, well, if nothing goes wrong, I'm fine. Something will go wrong. It will. So isn't that good news today? Isn't that awesome? If you live life right here, failure is 100%. We need that margin. And by the way, what if it's not something big? What if it's something God wants you to do and you're just unavailable to him? See, a lot, we don't have margin in our finances and our time, and we don't even make ourselves available to God and his purposes on the positive end of it. So we need to assess a real situation. I've talked to people, actually, it's sort of cool. So many people say, you know, I've really got on board with Jesus since I've come to Timberlake and in the last weeks, months, years. And sometimes that will cause problems of its own. In fact, Jesus, he says that, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. Now, I'm not saying seek out problems, but when you stand up and put God front and center, that'll cause its own problem. Well, what can we do? Number two, release your problem to God. David says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. We need to practice saying things like, God is with me. God will guide me. I'm never alone. But you know what we want to do? Everyone here, but men in particular. Men, you know what you are really good at? And it's not always smart. Some of the ladies say, well, let me tell you. No, this is not your time to add anything to the sermon. And I say this because I am a guy. I fall in that category. Is we want to fix everything ourselves, don't we? We want to do. And sometimes we do crazy things. This one great fail website, it's called I Fix It Myself. There's a couple images I thought were sort of funny there. Isn't that great? You know, air conditioning is broken in your car. And it didn't say that. That's another one. Now, that's just a good idea. That's just a good idea. Now, this isn't a guy who thought of this one, but hands-free device. So we look at those things and we say, okay, that's dumb. That's crazy. I would never do that. No, we wouldn't do it with coffee or with a cell phone, but we'll do it with forgiveness. We'll do it with a marriage. We'll do it with our finances and our eternity. And see, those are bigger things. And there's wisdom. Not to be mean here, but if you've ever, we do ministry downtown with the homeless. Some of the most independent people I know. I'll do it myself. You hear that a lot. And everyone says, these are people in desperately need of help. Can I help you? No, I'll do it myself. There's an intelligence of being dependent upon God. Yeah, I've heard people say, only weak people would say they need God. Okay, can I confront you logically? If there is a creator of the universe that's powerful and can do anything, and you're saying, I don't want him on my side. See, that doesn't make any sense to me. If there's time and space and the laws of nature, and there's someone who can operate outside of time and space and the laws of nature, wouldn't I want him involved in my life? And so we can include God in that. And part of that is including other people. Ecclesiastes 4, this isn't in your outline, it is in the Bible. It says, you're better off to have a friend than to be all alone. If you fall, your friend can help you. But if you fall down without a friend nearby, you're in real trouble. Okay, a little bit of a church business here as well. Here's one of my prayers and concerns. Now, it doesn't matter what service it is that I want you to be connected to Jesus, yes, first. And to the church, yeah, that's important. But you need to have some people who love God and love you. And if they love you, both are really important. And so I encourage you to do that. Like after the service, we're going to have the bounce house and barbecue. And you're saying, well, I'm going to wait for the old timers to come say, you know, there's a lot of you that are new. So just, go up and say hello to someone. It's one of those things. Here's the way that we really do this primarily. Our primary entry point is through our membership seminar. Which is basically, most churches like have 12 weeks of a class. We have one 2.5-hour seminar, and we take care of your kids, and we feed you lunch to get rid of your excuses. Because some of you are whiners, so you really are. But so what's the point of that? One, to make sure that you've made that connection with God, because that's more important than anything. but it's an entry point for connection with other people. So I'm going to encourage you next Sunday after this service to take that step. And by the way, you got to find out what a church believes. How do you know you're not part of a cult or something like that, you know? After what Pastor Nick preached last week, who knows? No, I'm kidding. You know, he did a good job. But really, you want to make sure that there are a lot of things, but it's that connection with God and other people. So I'm going to encourage you to do that. You can check that on your card. And that's an entry point. There's other opportunities after that. It's so important. And you say, well, I'm not going through anything big right now. Well, when you are, it's sometimes a little too late to say, you know, I'm desperately in need. Do you want to start a friendship with me? No. but there's, you know, we all need what I call the 3 o'clock in the morning friends. The friends who will be there, not the friends at 3 o'clock in the morning that call you, you know, from behind a dumpster drunk. I'm not talking about them. We don't need any more of those friends. But the 3 o'clock, I am from Tacoma, just that sort of my culture I come from. But 3 o'clock in the morning, when you say, I need help. And we need that. And that doesn't happen overnight. I wish I could say it's going to happen overnight. But it happens when we take a step. And if we don't, you know, we don't force, there's not heavy pressure here. But I would invite you, start with a membership class. And that's not an end all, by the way. And by the way, you don't have to join at the end of it if you figure this group isn't for you. Lots of good churches in King County. But now's the time to do it. Now's really the time to do it. And then keep moving. We see that with David. If you would, not that I want to get into the tense of Hebrew words too much, but it is an active tense where David says, but as for me, I will trust in you. It's the ongoing act of trusting in God. He's saying, yeah, things are falling apart, but I'm going to trust in you. I was talking to someone this last week going through a really bad health problem. I mean, significant. And I thought when we were going to get together, we were going to talk about the health problem. You know, he just wanted to talk about how can I get closer to Jesus. So we talked about baptism, that sort of step of identification. And there's an ongoing trust where it's not so much about me, but maybe it's more about God. See, God will meet us at our point of need. You know, we're all a little bit narcissistic, by the way. But if we stay there, that's called unhealthy. Where it's more, I keep on moving about God's plan and God's purposes. And that can be in our place of pain. The Apostle Paul really was wrestling with God, and we read, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Keep on moving. Well, here are the realities you have to understand if you're right in that situation of being overwhelmed. Number one, it is not permanent. It is not permanent. So let me show the graph up here that might help you out. Okay, this line, nothing new here. Okay, this would represent the beginning of our lives, not the beginning of eternity, because we know there is no beginning, no end. But that line goes off in the distance. It lasts forever. If you are human, you will live forever. You will live apart from God or with God. I don't know. I vote for the heaven category. That's the one I'm shooting for. And so along the way, we'll get overwhelmed. And see that dot? That feels like a stopping point, doesn't it? And a lot of you, here's what happens. We feel like this is it. This is over. And what it is, it's a place in your journey. It is not the end of your journey. King David said elsewhere in another psalm, he wrote the 23rd, the most famous psalm. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Notice what he didn't say, even though I stop at the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I'm moving on. He says, this is where I am, but this is not where I'm staying. And some of us, we've decided to camp longer than God wants us there. And that maybe God is saying, now's the time to move on. That now's the time to step in. You say, well, Ben, I've talked to people who, I talked to them so not too long ago, good Christian leader who really, really messed up. And his heart is, I mean, he has repentance before the Lord. And I said, now it's time to move on. God has forgiven you. God has not given up on you, even at that point when you gave up on God. See, part of this is being overwhelmed. It's where we experience God's grace. It's the place where we experience God's grace. You know, I don't like to create crises, but I don't fear them either. One of the interesting things about my wife and I in our ministry, we haven't, it's been weird in that we haven't apply for pastor jobs usually. It's that God just sort of says, hey, you know, this is where you're supposed to go. And so I've been a pastor for 20 years, and God has had me, you know, I've said, God, wherever you send, I'll go. And that's been my heart. And so, you know, God, you know, to the ends of the earth. And so God had me serve in Scottsdale and Santa Barbara and San Diego. And so, you know, and you say, well, why? It was just God loves me. That's what it is. And but he sent me to Kingman for a couple years so I would know. And so I said, God, I just want to be right with you. Well, usually it's always been to a church that's been plateaued or in decline. Actually, all of them have actually been in a state of decline, and because these are the only churches that would hire me. And so the they're like, you're a little crazy, but, you know, no one else will come, so you. And so that's been a little bit of our ministry career, not even kidding about this one. And as we've done it, we've got to see God move and go. And so we've always wanted to come back up to Washington, because Washington's where I've wanted to raise my kids, is where my family is. I may have mentioned I went to the University of Washington a time or two. And so it's really been a place where we want to come back, but never sought it. About 3.5 years ago, almost 4 years ago, God brought us back up here to Timberlake. Great church. And, you know, along the way, there are a couple struggles. One was in youth ministry. And this was really about a year and a half after we're really looking for some youth folks. And we hired a couple guys, right? And really good guys. But both of them, after like 2 months, decided they didn't want to work with kids anymore, which can be a problem for a youth pastor. Still friends with them, and wasn't feeling the love at the time. But it was, someone said, well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I said, you know, it's a great thing is God is going to provide. And I know that I've done my best, and God is just reminding me that he's just God. In fact, there was, I shared about this before. I wanted to wait till the church was out, but as I came in August to be the pastor, and the church had gone through, was already in a significant financial crisis. And then, of course, in October 2008, the stock market crashed. That was not my fault, by the way. So literally, when, you know, my friends who are pastors, oh, have things gotten bad? I said, they were already bad. You know, so, yeah, so it was just from bad to worse. And, but I was sort of excited, not because I love financial crisis. I don't, by the way. You know what I literally did is I started praying for God to bless you. Because I knew that many of you were, and some of you would become, faithful. And that you would give to the Lord's work. You would, some of you become tithers. And I said, God, I want you to bless them. And some of you don't even know why God has blessed you. Do you know why? It had nothing to do with you. God just likes me a lot. And but seriously, God blessed, and many of you were absolutely faithful, and I'm waiting for the rest of you. So the not even kidding. So the but it really was one of those things where we get to experience God's grace. We just get to see it happen. And see, what that can do is it overwhelmed us, where we're transformed. It can transform us as well. Things become clear, priorities rise to the top, it reveals who we are, and it reveals who we're called to be. And also, it points to something greater. It points to something greater. Last weekend, I was with my friend Greg. Were any of you here when my friend Greg spoke the Look at the Birds sermon? Yeah. Any of you? Yeah. Okay. Great guy. And, you know, he shared how he's been struggling with Parkinson's and multisystem failure. And he's going to start new treatment in a couple weeks. So please pray for him that that would work. But is really struggling. And as he's been going through, and this is a bit of a degenerative disease, it's amazing to see his faith. It's amazing to see hundreds of people say, God has a plan for me too. And in that weakness, there's an amazing strength. I was with a friend last week who went to heaven. And you may know he shared his testimony. Steve Carlson, great guy, used to work at the coffee cart. And just his passion for Jesus, absolutely contagious. In fact, this Friday at 4 p.m., in fact, the whole church is invited. If you want to come to it, there's a memorial service for Steve. And it's great because I was told, you know, don't wear a suit, which is great. I don't like to wear suits. Wear a Hawaiian shirt because that's what heaven's going to be like, more like Hawaii. I thought, good, I'm glad it's not like Tacoma. But it's really a celebration of the power of God entering a life. God wants to have that celebration with you. This side of heaven, but you need to allow him in. And for some of you, you're saying, Ben, that's a little scary, the God thing. I talked to someone last night, and she said, if you knew what a big deal it is I'm in church. I'm glad you're here. I want you to come back. But the most important connect you make is with the God of the universe who wants to be right front and center in your heart. And you say, oh, I sort of want to. You know what that is? That's called faith building up inside of you. And I want to give you the opportunity to do that, if you would pray with me. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you that you are not overwhelmed when we are. God, I pray for those of us who are here today, and God, we just, we're not sure about where we're at with you. And if that's you, you can be sure. And I want to invite you into prayer. You say it silently. I'll say it out loud. I don't want to embarrass you or call you out. But you just say something like this to God. Just say, God, I thank you that you created me and that you love me. And God, I admit I need you. I need the forgiveness that you bring through your son, Jesus Christ. And God, I need your presence in my life. And God, I don't know everything that it means, but I'm going to follow you. I'm going to make you the leader of my life. And the Bible says when we make that commitment to Jesus, that there is a transaction that's take place not only in this moment, but for eternity. That at the end of that line for eternity, it means that we're forever with God in heaven. And it's almost indescribable of what that's like. But the Bible is clear that some of the things that overwhelm us here are not going to be there. There will be no more pain. There will be no more tears. That there will be a transformation. And do you know that that can begin right now? That you can experience God's presence as you walk with him. Jesus said to his followers as he was going to heaven, I'll never leave you. I will never give up on you. So if you say, you know, I want that, I prayed that, I want Jesus in my life, I want that relationship with God, that you can be assured that that has taken place. And the Bible says as we take that step, although that's a very personal decision, that it's not a private one, that God calls us to go public. And here's how we do this at Timberlake, not to call you out or embarrass you in any way, but I just invite you to let that first step, that you would let me be your public. So with everyone's eyes closed and head bowed, even up on stage to give you a sense of privacy in a public place. But if you say, Ben, you know what? I prayed that prayer and asked Jesus into my life today. Would you indicate that step of faith simply by looking up at me? I'm going to look to my right and your left. And if you say, I prayed that prayer, just let your eyes meet mine. And that would be your way of going public with your faith. Okay. All right, all right. In this center section too, you'd say, that's me. That's me. Okay, that's great. All right, All right. That's great. Okay. And I look over to my left and your right. All right. Way to go. Good choice. Good decision. God, I just thank you for so many of my friends who are making the most important decision of their life. And Lord, I pray that there would be a real sense of your presence. God, I pray that for all of us. I pray that for those of us who feel so overwhelmed in the moment with health or finances or relationship issues, God, that we would get back to that place where we simply trust your plans in the midst of this current crisis. God, I thank you that we can be a people of joy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.